Thank you, Lord. Let's just lift up our hands for one moment. Don't look up to heaven, because He's not only there, He's right here. He's right in front of you. Tell your Father, who's standing right in front of you, just how much you love Him with your own words for a moment. Thank you, Father. I love you. And as you do that, take another moment and just cast those cares to Him right now. Whatever it is that you're worried about, that's got your mind thinking about situations or finances or family, just give it to Him right now. Father, I give this to you. I can't fix it. I don't know how to fix it. But you do. You're amazing and you love me. So I just give this to you right now. It's yours. And I thank you that you are taking care of it. So I'm free today to enjoy you. Father, we love you and glorify you. We magnify you. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you, Father. If you feel loved by God, say amen. 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 You can be seated. Even if you don't feel loved, you are loved. Tell your emotions to be quiet sometimes. I'm learning that your emotions are only the voice for your natural man. Sometimes you have to tell them to shut up. Well, it's good to see everyone. Are you glad to be in church this morning? You know, we serve God for a reason. We follow God for a reason. And that reason's not to fail, it's to win. The reason we serve God isn't to lose, it's to have victory, amen? In every area of your life. Thank God that He loves us. I can't imagine being in the world where you're all by yourself. You know, you go through the world. I remember when I was just a kid in school, like in junior high school, and they set us down and said, okay, it's time for you to make a career choice. And so we can start working on preparing you. What career do you think you're going to end up in? Well, you know, I'm in junior high. I'm thinking girls. I'm thinking, you know, lunch, rugby and hockey. We didn't play football up in Canada. We played rugby, hockey, and soccer. Mostly hockey. And I remember, it was so foreign to me, the language they were talking. Yeah, we have to start preparing your path for your future. Because, you know, you have to have a career. I didn't know that. What do you mean? You know, the world is designed to help you take care of yourself. Because no one else will take care of you. And they're right. If you don't take care of yourself and plan properly and think about your future, then no one will take care of you. So many people struggle because they want someone to take care of them and no one will. But when you have a Father who's in heaven, who's in your life every day, who knows everything about you, who's already been to your future, knows everything, and He will lead and guide you. He will take care of you. You don't have to. I remember I had an invitation to meet an apostle one time. He flew me up to meet him and have lunch with him and said, okay, we're going to start a church in this one city. And we decided that we're going to give you this church. We've got the funds. We've got about 200 leaders who are already cultivated in this city. And we've got a praise and worship team. We've got everything ready. We just need a pastor to oversee it. And it was a city that was on my heart. And I remember being excited and a little bit amazed that they were thinking of me. He said, now, we're ready to go. We want you to be the pastor of this church. We're going to start it. You don't have to think about much. Just start preaching, start leading. And he's waiting for me to say, wow, wonderful. But there was something in me, say, thank the Lord for praying in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you're supposed to all say that together. Thank you, Lord, for praying in the Holy Ghost. That's how praying in the Holy Ghost leads you, protects you from your own desires and will sometimes, you know. And it's not always bad things. Sometimes it's great things and good things. And it's what God put on your heart, your calling. But yet, to get to your calling, God wants to be the one who leads you there, not you. And I remember looking at this apostle, who I always respect, have always respected, and still respect today. I probably wouldn't be in ministry today if it wasn't for him in this group. And I said, wow. I said, thank you. You always say thank you. I said, I'm really honored that you thought of me, but I don't feel I'm supposed to do that right now. And they looked at me and said, well, what are you doing? I said, well, right now, not a whole lot. And they were a little puzzled that I wouldn't accept it. And to be honest with you, it wasn't a thought. It wasn't a, okay, these are the good things about this deal. These are the bad things. It was, I knew that I would violate something in my heart to accept this offer. And he said, well, don't you want to pray about it? You know, that's a code for go bother God until you get your way. Because God knows right away what you're supposed to do. Sometimes we want to pray about something. He knows. You don't have to pray. Some, I understand praying for us to hear, but he knows the first time you ask. And so I said, no, I don't need to pray about it. I can tell you, I just can't accept that offer. And then they got not so happy. And, you know, well, because when they give you a nice offer, it's really rejection for you not to take it, you know. And I said, and he said, well, you know, I know what you're doing, and you're not doing much right now where you are. You know, you're obviously called to do this. Let me ask you a question. What is your 5-year plan to get into your calling? And that puzzled me. Listen, that puzzled me the same way that I was puzzled in junior high. Because I never thought of that before. Oh, we can have a 5-year plan to get into your calling. Like the steps that you're going to achieve to get to where you're doing what you're called to do. Because everyone is called. Now, I absolutely, totally irks me when I hear some people say, well, you know, us preachers are called. Everyone's called. Now, we have the fivefold ministry. I understand that. And then we have different jobs. We have people who are full-time to the pulpit. Okay, that is a type of calling, but so is every one of us called to the family of God, to the body of Christ. And not one calling is more important than the other. Did you get to choose what you were called to do in your mother's womb when God met with you for the first time and said hi and said, now, what would you like to be? Would you like to be an entrepreneur? Would you like to be a preacher? Well, as preacher is not a calling. Apostle or prophet or pastor or teacher or an evangelist. What would you like to do? And you, in your mother's womb, put up your little finger and said, I want to be a... You didn't get to choose, did you? He chose for you. So, why, if he chose for you your calling, do you think, or would you think, that your calling is more important than someone else's, or your calling is less important than someone else's? It's not. Or your reward to fulfill your calling is less than someone else's. Take a guy who plays guitar, jazz musician. He loves to play guitar. This is in the world now. I'm just talking a worldly guy. That's his love. Just loves to play guitar. He's got a little, his garage is set up. And he's got his speakers and he bugs the neighbors every weekend as he gathers a couple guys together. And that's all he loves is to play his jazz guitar. Well, he finds a way to make a living playing at bars and different places throughout the week. He makes a living so that every day he gets to do what he loves. This is in the world now. How many know he's doing what he loves? Well, you take another guy who loves to play his jazz guitar. But yet, they find him and he gets popular. Well, now he's traveling, singing at full sold out concerts all over the world. They fly him first class. He's making millions of dollars. But he gets up every day and does what he loves. Do you know they're both doing what they love? One's just making more money than the other. And here we think that entrepreneurs are, unless you got $1 billion coming in, you're just not a good entrepreneur. Well, some entrepreneurs are only going to bring in $1 million. Oh, I think I'm preaching good now, right? Some pastors are only supposed to pastor a little church. Some people, your influence is only supposed to be a small area. Some big, some small. But does that make you less? I remember praying in the Holy Ghost 20 years ago. And I had in me this drive to succeed. And because I thought my reward was tied in directly with how many people I personally led to the Lord. And I prayed in the Holy Ghost and the revelation hit me that that wasn't true. And I started to preach. I snuck into the church. There was no one in there. And I was started preaching to the empty pews. I said, that's not fair. That's not fair, I said. I said, if my reward in heaven is tied in directly with how many people I personally lead to the Lord, then God, you better call me to be an evangelist. With the gift of miracles on me, you better place me in the largest city in the world. Because it wouldn't be fair if you called me to be a pastor in the mountains of Tennessee, where there's only 100 people. That wouldn't be fair. If it was true that my reward is tied into my productivity, then God, I'm moving out of Tennessee, the mountains, and I'm moving to some big city. So your reward has to do with obedience and doing and being who God's called you to be. Your reward has to do with following His steps and not your own will. So much of the church today is built around doing things in the name of God, for God. But I get to do what I want, when I want. All religion starts at that point where you have the right to keep your will alive and serve God at the same time. That's where all religion starts. See, in your mother's womb is when He placed a call on you, and then He went into your future and waited for you to find Him. And the moment you were born again, you're now called. So when this apostle, and I say that with much respect because they have started so many churches and done so much great work, said, what's your 5-year plan to fulfill your calling? I said, I don't know. 5 years from now, I want to be in God's will. Now, you can set goals, so you're praying more, so you're spending more time in worship, so you're changing things in your life and conquering personal things. Yes. But when you're following the will of God, I don't know about you, but for me, He seems to always like to not tell me where I'm going. And the reason for that, I believe, or one of the reasons, is because every hope, every strength, every dream, he wants to be in him, not in what I'm doing. That's why you have to let your dreams die. Well, I can sing, I can dance, I can preach, I can do this. See, you're not supposed to make those things happen. I'm not saying let the hope of your dream die, or let the desire to do those things die, but your ability to make it happen, you have to let go and place into his hands. Father, I will go and do and say what you want me to do. And that's easy until it's something you don't like. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. I want us to remember today that you're as much a part of the body as every person. That your place in the body of Christ is just as important. I don't know if I want to say that we will get there as a church family, not just talking about the prayer center, but that revelation of our importance to the body. We have a lot of religion to fight through to get that revelation in us. Because that other revelation, that other teaching that says, hey, unless you're preaching, you're not really worth that much. Unless you're preaching to more than 1,000, you're really not worth that much. Unless you're given 1 billion, you know, what, all you got is $100? That's it? That's all you got? Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. I'll buy lunch with that. The value of you and what God has for you, we have to come to a revelation of being free to walk side by side and knowing that the gift of the entrepreneur who can produce $100 is as powerful and as anointed as the entrepreneur who gives $1 billion. Because in God's eyes, the guy who gives $1 billion, it should mean as much to him as sweeping the floor. It shouldn't be any more important. I give you $1 billion. Well, look, he swept the floor. Good job. Thanks. Thanks for serving. The moment you put your self-worth or your value on what you do or what you produce for the kingdom, yeah, I prayed for 30 people, got 30 years, deaf ears opened. Well, that's a great testimony. But the moment that makes you feel more important to God, you've missed the whole point. Let's start in chapter 12. We know most of this already, but I'm not going to beat it up too much. But let's start in verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Now, I love how he uses the word body. Because he's about to give us 8 different jobs that are in the body. 8 different jobs. Okay, let's skip to that. And we'll come back to verse 20. Let's skip to verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles, or we understand that to be evangelists. Then gifts of healings, which we have accepted that means pastors. And you notice, if you look real close, look real close in your fine, look after healings, look. Closer. Okay, those first 5 is what we call the fivefold ministry. Okay? Which I am okay with and not okay with. I'm okay with the understanding that these are probably the guys that we want to be preaching or in the pulpit or not having to work a secular job so they have time to do things. But I will not accept that the fivefold ministry is more spiritual or more important than the other callings. Now look real close. Look, just look real good. Gifts of healing. So look. Is that a comma or a period? It's a comma. So he hasn't stopped yet in describing the positions or jobs of the body. Comma. After gifts of healings is helps. Now I'm reading from the New King James, but administrations is after that, and variety of tongues. And then there's your period. That's eight different jobs. Now pause with me for a moment because I want to look over here. I'm standing to the right of the right of the church, and there's a circle here. This is your first position with God over here, this circle. Okay, this is called family. This is the first and most important circle. Without this circle, nothing else is possible. If you don't get born again, you're not part of the family. God is not interested in someone who's not born again doing good things for him. He's interested first and foremost that you become part of the family. The greatest miracle, the goal of the church, the goal of the body is number one, get people into the family. The goal for God is to have more people get born again. You say amen. He's not interested in anything else. First. The first and foremost thing that God wants. That's the reason you and I are still here. To bring more people into the family of God. Now, this is the family. I'm in a big circle. This is your first position with God in your life, is being a child. Now, I'm going to jump over here to the second circle, over to the left of the stage. And there's another big circle. This here is called the body. I won't even call it a church, because when we think church, we think weird stuff. This is the body. Now the body is made up of millions of pieces. Now back in Jesus' day, they didn't have cameras or microphones or CDs or MP3s or internet. So the body was a little bit simpler, but they had things. Like, thank God for the guys who wrote the messages down and copied it and passed it around. See, the body is full of millions of different positions and places, and everyone is necessary. Today we have those things. We have internet, you know. Instantly, someone could preach. They'll go up on websites and all around the world. Well, that wasn't available, I don't know how many years ago. I mean, I remember when the cell phone first came out. Was this big? You ever see one of those big ones? Walking around, some cool guy, rich guy, walking around with a great big thing. Hey, how you doing? Beep, beep, beep. Big old thing sticking, antenna sticking up. I remember the prayer center used to send us tapes, cassettes, and we'd smuggle them in. They come in a big box. And now they're like on a little, you know, you can put everything on a little iPod or something. You know, even that now, it's past me. I don't even know. I'm getting old already. I don't even know what's what. So now the body. So over here, your first position is family. Say family. Family. Say first family. First. Your second position over here is called body. Second body. Okay. So this is the body. This is where you produce something. You help someone. You do something. Okay? It's really difficult to serve God unless you're serving Him through somebody. Someone said to me that one time, I'm going to give Jesus a birthday present at Christmas time. I'm going to spend extra time in worship. And I said, well, that's really nice, but truthfully, the scripture says if you want to bless Jesus, you feed the poor, you visit the prisoners. I said, if you really want to give Jesus a birthday present, buy a little kid a bike in the name of God who can't afford a bike. So your second position is the body, which you are called to, you fit in. No matter where you live, you are being placed. If you're praying in the Holy Ghost with us, if you're holding on through all the warfare of your emotions and all the persecution of people who think you're crazy. Because that apostle thought I was crazy. They never asked me back. And I loved him. I still love him. I had one apostle guy offer me a church one time. Offered me like three churches. And then we sat down one day and I had to tell him no. I never heard from him again. We spent like 2 years together. And then one day he just... And I understand. You won't fit into certain things when you pray in the Holy Ghost. They'll think you're crazy. Or lazy. But there's lazy times and then there's busy times. This here position, I'm in the second circle, is called what? The body. We won't call it the church, because the church has been, when you say church, you think pews, building, pulpit. I'm saying body. Now, before Jesus came, the Old Testament saints weren't able to be in the first position, because they weren't able to be saved, because Jesus didn't come. The disciples in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were not born again yet because Jesus hadn't died yet. So they also did not have the luxury of the first position. They only had the second position to live in. Are you still with me? Now, in the Old Testament, there were still ministry and God was still working through men who were not born again. Abraham was not born again. Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Noah, none of the men of the Old Testament or the disciples before Jesus died were born again. Now, all they had was the second position, and this is where we learn about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit still operated in the Old Testament. Men were raised from the dead in the Old Testament. Prophecy came forth. They heard God. They saw God. But it was from heaven down upon a man. So they followed a cloud. They felt a cloud. Everything was an outside experience coming upon you and over you. They didn't have the first position because they were not born again. They still had their jobs to do. They still had to follow God, obey God, and do things for God. But the power to do that came from heaven upon them. Well, that's not you. Because you have something better. There are eight jobs described here in 1 Corinthians. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, pastors, or then helps, administrations, and variety of tongues. Now you and I will fit into one of these eight jobs. That's your second position. You're going to have something in one of these eight jobs. Now don't freak out on me now, because we have in the church defined pastor as the man behind the pulpit. And you should hear the pastors and the apostles fight and the evangelists. No, I'm serious. Because the pastor kind of has, in a traditional church, has a lot of authority because he's the pastor of the sheep. He receives the offerings and the tithes. The traveling guy, traveling teachers, they don't make money from tithes, so they have to find a way to get people to give to them. That's where sowing a seed, I think, came to life. I mean, a financial seed. Well, the apostles, they're fighting because they need to be over churches, which means they have to be over pastors. And so you should hear some of the teaching struggles when the pastor says the pastor is more important than the apostle. And the apostles, you see them fight when they have an... I don't know how on earth someone would ever have an apostle conference. Talking about traditional. I'm making fun now. Yeah, hey, how you doing? I'm more important. You need to submit to me. No, you need to submit to me. Ooh. So you, though, fit into one of these eight jobs. And what I want you to understand is the amount of exposure that you have is really not up to you. It's up to him. How silly that the guy who has a church of 10,000 is putting on a conference saying, come, I'll show you how to build your church as big as mine. Yeah, I live in the mountains of Tennessee. I only have 100 people. That's it? That's all you got? 100? Well, we only have like 100 in our town. As a body, we are supposed to be comfortable in our second position side by side. See, no matter what it is. So when I say the word pastor, what we need to think of is shepherd. Someone who cares about other people. Who, you know, some people don't. Like Tim said this morning, some people don't. And I'm not saying love. I remember when we'd have preachers come through and the guy would be really mean or a jerk to people. Be mean to people from the pulpit. And they say, oh, he's just an evangelist. It's okay. I remember saying, no, the evangelist has to love the people as much as the pastor does. So this isn't about expressing. A jerk is a jerk. It has nothing to do with callings. Okay. But when your thought goes to taking care of someone or you, some come to church and they don't look around at all. No one knows you. You haven't said hi to a person. But some of you come and you're noticing, hey, where's so-and-so? I haven't seen him. Where are they? That's because there's a heart in you. See, when I say the word pastor, that should mean 1,000 different people. Not just the guy who's preaching. When I say evangelist, it should be 1,000 of it, not just the guy who's out there. When I say teacher, prophet, see, it's not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and everyone else be quiet. The body is complicated and full. So this is our position. So when people after Jesus got born again in family, what many of us have done in the past is we were excited about being family. We jumped over to our second position as the body and started going to work right away. But yet, because we didn't grow in family. So over here in family, this is where you get to know him. See, in the New Testament, this is where the anointing of the believer is to be developed. In the family. In the children of God. See, what God wants for us now in the New Testament is still to be able to operate like a body in our jobs, but not empowered from a heavenly gift, but empowered by this anointing of the believer. We're still supposed to do what we're called to do, but the source of strength, the source of power, the source of authority is supposed to come from the new nature overtaking us and us maturing to that new nature. And that's why when you start praying in tongues and start following God, if he sits you down for a while, it's because he's trying to grow the core of your strength. And it may seem for a while like your exposure is being limited, but you're not being short anything. Because your potency is being increased to do what you're called to do. Now, in without this anointing of the believer or strength from the family and me as a child of God knowing him and developing in him, if I just jump over to my second part, the body, and say, okay, bless God, I'm called to this, I'm called to that. Listen, do you know that people are actually called to be a dentist? Do you know that there's people, now, many of you are at this location because you may be called to ministry. But let's not forget, there's people called to be a dentist. There's people called to be doctors. There's people called to be everything. I don't want to say the high level, everything. Oh, okay, I'm preaching good again. Well, bless God, you know, I'm up here preaching and I got miracles in my ministry and people call me to preach because I have attained a level. And now the rest of you, you know, the camera guy there today, he's only doing that because really got nothing else for him to do. And the sound guy up there running sound, you know, he's not ready yet. So, you know, just give him a little pat on the back today. You know, the guy who did the chairs, I don't think he'll do much more than set up chairs because that's, you know, he's not praying as much as me. So we just kind of let him do the chairs. That's the menial things we leave for people. All the work of preparing the building and you know, I'll pick on the internet people, you know, just real smart, but, and they work hard, but you know, that's all they're good at. Unless you're up here anointed and have miracles, like me, then you're really just okay. Just shh. Maybe God will bless you like he has me one day. That's what you put off when you think, this is the calling. But every calling, the internet, the cameraman, there's guys called to be cameramen. I mean, they love it. They love it. Anyways, I have a friend who started a program when I was starting ministry. I guess I was 19. The cable company in Canada has to give free time, so we went down and negotiated. We actually started one of the first Christian video programs in Canada, and we put it on. And I had a guy; his name was Peter. And he started with me. And this guy started off with cameras, and he was a photographer because that's what he loved. But him and I put the start of this program. It was huge. It went all over Western Canada. We did it every week. And then when I moved and he moved on, a Christian television program started, like a station up in Canada, the first one in Canada. And he ended up overseeing all the camera stuff and everything. I mean, it was. Do you understand? People are called to that. Do you think that's less important? Oh, he's just not. You know, when you get anointed enough, you'll be in the pulpit. There is a settlement, a peace that you come to. See, if you've abandoned the first part, the family, you get saved and you run over to the second part, your second position, the body, without God telling you to. Then what happens is you only have one source of power for miracles. It's called the gifting. Now, if you're an entrepreneur, you can have a gifting for finances. If you're an internet guy, you got a gifting for internet stuff. If you're a pastor, you have gifts of healings. See? But man, I would hate it the day that my child gets sick. And I'm called to be an accountant and not an evangelist with miracles. Bless God, I'm be healed. Nothing happens. But as the anointing of the believer, which only comes from the family, the development place for the anointing from the believer, which means that each of us have the authority to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, to raise the dead, to walk in miracles. That is developed in one place only, and that is in the circle of family, of knowing Him, spending time with Him. Am I preaching okay? That means that no matter what your calling is or your job is, the Holy Ghost walks with you. And you don't need a gift to do something, because the gift describes who He is. So when my child is sick, I have the authority to speak healing, not because of my calling, but because of who I am in Him. But that doesn't mean when it comes over to my job in the body that we're all called to lay hands on the sick. Because, you know, this is revival we're looking for. Revival where we will see multitudes come. And we'll need lots of hands, but I have a feeling we'll have, you know, too many hands. We need to find our place in the body and be okay with that. Where you can say, yeah, man, how many? I got 30 people, deaf ears open. And you can say, yeah, I could have done that too, but I'm doing what He told me to do. You do what He told you to do. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean that in an agreement way. But where the guy, I got 30 people, deaf ears open, is not saying it to say, how many people did you get healed today? The job, you have a job in the body, and He will help you get there. It's not your job to get there. He'll help you get there. And when you're doing your job, it's just as important as the other guy. I can see us looking at a football team, and everyone wants to be the... I help coach Harrison's soccer team. And it's funny, you got all these little 7, 8-year-olds. I don't know if you can really call it soccer. But every quarter we switch up positions, and you should see them all. I want to be center. 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 I want to be forward. I want to be forward. No one wants to be defense. But if you're going to have a team, everyone's got to have a position. You have a position in the body. It's a job. Let's go back up to verse 20 of chapter 12. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, this is really interesting, which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, yet our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. I think when we get to heaven, we'll be surprised who God honors. That there should be no division or schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one or for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Now this isn't talking about emotions. Someone has a bad day, we all go, oh, I feel for you. No, what it's talking about, if one member lacks, one part of the body lacks, we're not complete. We're not whole. Just stub your toe one day and walk around with a limp, and you'll know what this verse means. That if one person is behind, maybe because they don't feel important, they think that what they do isn't important, they think that the only goal is to get up to the pulpit and preach. Unless I'm up there, unless I'm seeing miracles in the service. See, when I listen to people talk, here's what I listen for. over in the family. That's the testimonies I want to hear. That's where I, for me as a person, as a minister, I like to give attaboys. You know what an attaboy is? Like good jobs? Good job. To, hey, I did this. I prayed. I gave of myself. I spent time with God. I want to give attaboys for things, not for, hey, do you know that I heard God say this? Do you know that I prayed for the sick and this happened? I think those are good. But the things that are super important to your future don't come from your job. They come from your family. You finding out who you are in Him. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And now you are the body of Christ, members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. Now this is important. Because in the body there is order. There is positions. There is structure. It's not all a bunch of people just running together. All right, let's all. That is the body. That's the job of the church. That is your. You fit in the body. You have a place and a position that God wants you. And He doesn't want you sneaking over to my place. He doesn't want me sneaking over to your place. Now, I'm going to pause there for a second. I want to give you a quick third position. Number one position is family. You finding family, wholeness in family. Where do I get my source of self-worth or my source of who I am? Not from my job. Not from what I do for Him. Not from my dreams. If you have a dream, if God gave you a dream, your dream has to do with your job. It's not your role to make it come to pass. It's your role to follow Him there. Where we find everything we need to be safe. The source of our strength. The source of our victory. The source of our power. The source of everything God has for us comes from number one place, which is family. You say amen. Amen. The second place is our job. Now let me add a little point to job. This is our body, this is our responsibilities. Ooh, that's a bad word. Responsibilities. I want to add to this circle. This is the second circle. I'm on the left side of the stage, the second circle. This, in this area here called job, is responsibilities. Responsibility is a good word, it's not a bad word. False responsibility is a bad word. You can choose some things in this. So I have the body, which is what God's told me to do, but I can add a responsibility. Let's say a wife. I have a wife. Do you know that? I have a beautiful wife. If you're single, young man, pray in tongues. I got heard a testimony from a church, Sacramento. I told all the young kids over there, or young man when I was preaching, I said, I rubbed my belly. I said, if you pray in tongues a lot, God will give you a beautiful wife like He did me. And I showed my beautiful wife. And you know what they do when they hear that? They go, Shandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandarabasandar said, there was a preacher here a couple years ago. Because in that church, when you get engaged, you do it in front of the whole church. It's, I kind of like that a little bit. And like you, they make you stand up with your girl, and they ask her parents to stand up and your parents to stand up and get all the approval from them. And the, you know, I kind of like that a little bit. Anyways, he said, there was a preacher here a few years ago. And he said, if you pray in tongues a lot, God will give you a hot wife. said, I didn't. And he did. Yep, that'll get them all baptized in the Holy Ghost right there. I have a beautiful wife. That's a responsibility that I chose to add to the circle. Okay? I'm not allowed to abandon that responsibility because I chose it. That's part of my job now. There's another responsibility I have. 2 children. I didn't have to make those. Now, Paul says you don't have to have those responsibilities. You don't have to get married. You can stay single and not worry about those. But when I had 2 little children, which I chose to make, thank you very much. Ava, yesterday, had her dance recital. And she danced. You've never seen a dancer like her. She was so beautiful. She got a little trophy. She slept with her trophy last night. And then Harrison, I call him my monkey. I have created 2 more responsibilities. I chose. I'm not allowed to abandon that. Now God will give me direction in that, but this is in the circle of the body. The body has a lot to do with work, productivity, has a lot to do with responsibility. You know, God, just call me when you need me. I'm just going to be over here doing nothing until you call me. No, God doesn't call. He gives you a responsibility to be part of the body. Oh, I'm preaching great. I can tell. Just like with my family, you know. I want to be part of a church family. I want to be part of a body where everyone just is nice to me and loves me, doesn't expect anything from me. That's family. Don't expect anything from me. That's what the body is. Now, that's in family, in growing up, we want everyone to have time to hear God and grow. But the fruit of that should eventually be that you are in your calling, that you're doing a job for the body of Christ, a job that's different than someone else, but just as important as someone else. When the time comes for you to do that, that's up to God, not up to you. I have a wife. She expects things from me. I have children. They expect things from me. I can't just go home and wave at my children and say, hey, little kids. They expect time, effort. My wife wants money. What's that about? The circle of the body and the circle of the job and responsibility in the body and the ones you create, wife, children, require things of you. But I want to stop there because I really don't want to talk about these 2 today. I want to talk about the 3rd one in my time left. The 3rd part, 1, say family. 2, say body. This is our positions. Now, the 3rd position, though, which is 3rd, it's not as important, if I can say it this way. I don't want to say important. That's not the right word. You can't do 3 without doing 2, and you can't do 2 without doing 1. Like steps. Hey, that's better. Can't get to the 2nd step unless you do the 1st step. And you can't do the 3rd step without going through the 2nd step. Does that make sense? The 3rd place I want to talk about, I'm trying to think of the right wording. I'm going to call it fragrance. Okay? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I'll just start with it there. And I won't teach a lot on it today. I had meant to get right to it, but chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. And see, you, say me, very good, you fit into, this is for all of us. There's not a group that are in the body and you're not in it. There's a group that are called and you're not called. There's a group that's valuable to God and you're not valuable. No. you are just as called, and your job is just as important as any man who's ever lived. The third position I want to talk about, we'll call it fragrance for now. I want to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 14, just for time's sake. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us, say through us, say through me, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now this is what I'm calling the third position or the third step. And it is a diffusing of God's fragrance through us. Have you ever been around someone who smells? Now that could be good or bad. You know, you're standing there and someone walks by. And then 3, 2, 1, poof. Like, whew. Whoa. We used to have a guy in church. He was an usher. And he was a character. That means he was... He didn't care that he was funny. He was funny. He didn't care if you laughed or not. And he was a torturer. Well, he was not... We all knew that he had gastritis issues. I don't know if that's the right word. But you would know the word if you smelt it. And he... You need to take pills. You need to go to the doctor. You need to quit eating that whatever you're eating... And he was like the head usher. And I remember, this is when I was young, and a usher. And in my young ushering stage, they would give you positions, and you're supposed to keep in your position. You didn't get to choose where you sat. And here's what he'd do. He'd walk across the room when he had a gastritis issue. And he would stand beside you for a minute during the service, and and then he'd leave a gift behind. And then he'd walk over to the other side of the room innocently. And before, when you watched him walk off, his gift would hit you. And a fragrance would, I mean, I'm talking about a skunk might be better. I mean, you would actually take a skunk and rub it on you just to be. And by the time you smelt it, he was on the other side of the room. Well, then it would waffle over to the people in the rows around you. And when they would notice it, they would turn around, and you're the only one standing there. And you're like, it wasn't me. Everyone, all of us ushers were nice to him, hoping he would go to someone else and leave a gift for them. You know? That is a diffusing of fragrance. That's a bad fragrance. Sometimes there's good fragrances, you know, perfumes and that. A fragrance follows you. See, it's with you. And in Scripture here, what he's saying is that God diffuses a fragrance. And it's, let's look, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now this is a part of what I think is this is a part, what I believe, is a very important part of the revival that we're seeking for. A while back I was preaching and I saw a circle of a bubble of worship, I'll call it, a bubble of God's presence. It was like there was this circle, okay? And And inside this circle, it was like a protective bubble. It contained the not just presence, but the essence of God here on this earth. And I watched people walk into it, and it was like a membrane that you could just walk right through it, and you'd be in God's presence, in His essence. And it was healing and powerful in the emotions, and encouraging and strengthening, and God's presence was there. And in this circle, this bubble, I watched people with agendas who were trying to rule over people, try to walk in, and they would hit the bubble and they couldn't get into it. It's like it was protecting the ones inside. And that what was inside this bubble wasn't maturity. You didn't have to be mature to get into it. You didn't have to be holy to get into it. You didn't have to be perfect to get into it. You only had to be hungry. Now that's for the people out there. That's for the revival to come. But what I'm trying to describe, this third position is there because of people who know Him and spend time with Him and worship Him. I remember I was preaching at a place, and I hadn't been there for a few years, and they had me come. I showed up, and the praise and worship was started up, and all of a sudden God's presence fell. And His presence just filled the room. It was, you know, when you can feel it, right? Well, the praise and worship team got really excited and started really worshiping God. And then the pastor got up, and instead of asking me to preach, he started prophesying, and he started ministering. And it was good. And I was sitting there just patiently waiting. And finally, he took like an hour. And finally, he said, "Okay, I'll have Brother Allen come up and preach now." And he said, I think he's the reason the presence of God is here like this. Well, I found out some people in the praise and worship team, they said, "Hey, we've been here years, and we have not felt God's presence like this for years and years and years and years." And the Lord spoke to me. Now, this isn't an arrogant thing. I'm not trying to say anything about me. But He spoke to me and said, "Why do you think I was able to come? Why do you think I was able to show up?" See, you may not know this, but you are an invaluable key to revival in the third position just because you're there. Just because you're there, it allows God or gives God authority to express His presence. Let me try this again. Jesus barely approached anybody. He just walked, and things happened around Him. You're the authority that God uses to do many things. And so there is a diffusing of God's fragrance, a diffusing of love, a diffusing of God's presence, because you're there. Well, why is it I go to one church, His presence isn't there? Because to have that happen, I believe you have to do it through family. You have to spend time with Him. You have to worship Him. This time of worship and intimacy with Him and yielding over your life to Him, yielding over your heart to Him, yielding, submitting your future and everything into His hands. This position of family produces so much. Yes, you're going to have a job. Your job is not the third position only. That is part of it. Your job is going to be in the second position. You'll have something He wants you to do. But in this whole circle, this third position, you carry the presence of God with you wherever you go. It doesn't come because people get excited. It doesn't come because you talk Him into it. It's there because you're there. And you know Him. and He knows you, and you spent the time to build that bond with Him of worship, of intimacy. Intimacy is what causes you to Him to use you in this third position, or Him to walk with you in this third position. It is intimacy. It is ownership, where He owns you and you own Him, where you belong together. I don't know if that's the right word, owning, but where it's such an intimate relationship. You know, my wife knows we can be across the room, and she knows my body language. You know, you may not know, but she knows. Why? Because we know each other. We spend time together. She knows my body language. We don't have to have signals like, all right, when I do this, two means let's leave. One means we'll stay. Hey, baby. Peace, everyone. Peace. I love. Hey, yeah, good. Yeah. I saw two people yesterday. We don't have to have signals or code words. Just little nudges, little movements, because we know each other. This third position, I want us to understand, it is the third step. It's the third position of our calling. But listen, it is so important for the revival that God wants. Because He's not after revival built on one guy on the stage and one prayer line of miracles. He's trying to cultivate a family, a body, a fragrance, where when you come into this area, why is it that it's localized? Do you ever wonder that? Why is it that it's localized? Why is it that we can have God's presence here in this service? Have you been in a service in a praise and worship here recently where God's presence was really sweet? Just wave your hand if you have. Well, why didn't there's a church 300 feet from us? Why didn't they feel it? Why is it localized? Why didn't the church across town have the same presence of God there that we have here? Because you're here. Oh, no, I'm not Pastor Dave. We know that. You're you. You're here. Do you know at work? I'm going to close up here in about 3 hours. At work, you don't have to preach to everyone. Just your presence allows God to minister to them. Well, yeah, because I'm special. No. Because of my personality? No. Because you carry the fragrance of God with you wherever you go. If you allow intimacy to be developed between you and Him, the revival that God is after has so much to do with all three of these positions. You can't ignore one. I believe we have to let Him develop us in all three. But the place of intimacy with God, it means that because you're here and you've been intimate with Him, you know Him, He knows you, you've yielded your heart to Him, you've yielded yourself to Him, you yield your life to Him. A husband and a wife, we're partners. There's an intimacy, a connection where if I have a bad day, my wife has to go through it. If you have a bad day, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm just going to, hey, I'll call you later. Bye-bye. But if I have a bad day, she's stuck with me. There's a intimacy, a vulnerability. There's a care, a love that God wants to develop with you that's so much more than what you do in the body, your job in the body. But you can't not skip that and say, I'm just called to provide God's presence. You've got a family. You've got your place in the body. But also that's intimacy that builds. It allows God's fragrance to come wherever you are. Have you heard testimonies of people who have either watched or listened to stuff they found from you across the world where God's presence showed up when they were listening to something? They're not in the head, of course they have. See, it's not just, God tags that. It's like, I think Pastor Dave said that media is like a prayer cloth. You know, that when they listen to something online or however they listen to something, if there's intimacy involved, then God allows God the authority to tag everything connected to it with His presence. There's things that we can only get from heaven, that we can only get from God, that will bring revival. And I believe from the bottom of my heart that that comes from our third position of worship, of intimacy. And understand, God will do mighty things for you. You have a place in the body of Christ. It's so valuable. You'll be missed. You cannot abandon it and not be missed. You have a place in the family with Him. Spend time and worship Him. This comes from you and Him. It doesn't come from a service. This place of intimacy comes from you spending time with Him.